You're listening to the VFC Sermon Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to download our free VFC Thomasville app, where you can access all of our messages, sermon notes, announcements, and small group lessons. Our app is the easiest way to keep up with everything going on here at VFC. We hope that this message helps you in your walk with Jesus and encourages you to belong, believe, and become.
How we doing, you guys?
All right.
I love hearing those testimonies of what the Lord has done in people's lives. Where's Ryan at? I think I saw some weeds in the parking lot. Where? There you get to work, bro. All right. Get on it. I'm so glad. Hey, how many of you already have seen someone at this service that you already knew but you didn't know came to VFC? Yeah. Look at that. Y'all were just going to different services. And you didn't know, and I'm so glad that we're able to come back to one service and worship together, right? So cool. In 2017, we launched what we call the Impact Campaign. So if you've only been coming for a little bit, you didn't really realize that we were in the middle of this Impact Campaign. We had $750,000 of debt to pay off, which you guys paid off in 2 years. And then we were able to save. We weren't able to pay cash for this, but we will soon. And so we were able to save up and get financially in a great place to where we could do this. And we're just so excited. Guys, the Impact Initiative, please let me be very clear, is not about a building. The Impact Initiative has always been about influence. It's always been about making room for more people and allowing people to have the same encounters with the Lord that you've had. Right? We don't want to be stingy. If you had the cure to cancer in your pocket, you wouldn't keep it for yourself. You'd give it away, right? And so we have the best gift, which is the presence of God. And we wanted to make space so you could invite your friends, your coworkers, your family, and the community to experience what you have experienced. Amen. I want to just really quickly, I've got a short message to share this morning, but before I get to that, I just want to share a couple of thank yous. I want to make sure you know some of the people who've been really instrumental in seeing this project come to being. First of all, we had a building design team. This was years ago. Some of you may not even remember you were on it. But years ago, we worked with our architect to make sure that this building would represent the DNA of VFC, that it would serve the function that we needed it to, but it would also accurately reflect who we are. And so that was David Grantham, Larry Nunley, Laura Williams, Mitch Sampson, Dylan Williams, Cynthia Bryan, and myself. Would y'all give them a hand? Cool. We also had our interior design team. Once the building was built, we got to work. If you like the carpet, the colors, the chairs, all the kind of stuff out there, then you should thank Anna Oakes, Laura Williams, Stephanie Nunley, Cynthia Bryan for that interior design team. Isn't that cool? People have asked, who is our architect? Our architect's Ran Wilson. I don't think I've seen Ran here. I know he was invited. We only got into a couple fights, just a few. We're good. And then our general contractor, it was CCH. So Jason Harp, who I saw over there. What's up, Jason? Thanks, man, for your hard work. Scott Fox. I haven't seen Scott, I know. I don't know if he's here this morning, but he was here a couple weeks ago. And then the audio video lights was done by Josh Branch and Firelight Integration. Josh is back there. What's up, dude? Y'all, our new tech director, Phoenix Gibson, has spent countless hours. Like, you would be shocked. And just ask his wife. She'll tell you. He has been up here constantly. And so y'all give it up for Phoenix real quick. Chance Holt built the drum cage. Josh Marchant did the punch list. There's blue tape everywhere, you guys. Elizabeth and Shauna, you guys know, work in our office. They did an incredible job of keeping stuff, keeping ministry going, even while we were working on this project. Tim did the Welcome Center and punch list stuff. Eric Robertson did the big sign on the exterior and the well. Cynthia was over the septic system. Y'all, it was a lot. And over landscaping. Would y'all give them all a hand? Isn't that awesome? You guys are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I just want to emphasize that again. I know you know that, yes. I know. And we say, I'm going to church, or I'm going to the church. But in reality, it's the gathering of the saints that's the church. See, if you guys aren't in here, this is just a building. It's a good thing. I like AC, right? But it's not the point. The point is Holy Spirit in you. You are the church. You are where the Holy Spirit lives. And let's celebrate. Let's enjoy. Let's, you know, and this is going to be going on for a while, by the way. There is not a single part of this building that's finished. I'm dead serious. Not a single part. We got a lot more AV stuff going up. Y'all parking. I know. We still need to do parking stuff. We don't have a furniture for a lot of the rooms around here. A lot of them are empty. We're working on it. If you notice something that needs to be fixed or got some ideas, it's Cynthia at vfcthomasville.org. Just let her know. For real, seriously, let us know. We've probably seen it and thought about it, but you never know. So we want you to feel like you're a part of this as well. But aside from the physical building, our church, I feel like the Lord is asking BFC to have a particular identity in our community. I believe we're called to be like Ananias. Now, there are a couple Ananiases in Scripture. You're like, is that the guy that got struck dead? No, you're not called to be like that. But I want to talk to you this morning about the passage my heart was drawn to when we began the Impact Initiative. When I first began to pray about what are we doing? How are we doing this? What's it going to look like? Why are we? I mean, I was trying to get this like from the Lord. Are you sure, Lord? Because believe me, it's a lot easier to stay over there. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? And I felt like the Lord said, I'm calling VFC to be an Ananias in the community, in the region, in the nation, and even in the world. Who was Ananias? Well, I'm going to tell you the story this morning of Acts 9, 1 through 22. I'm just going to read this to you. It's in the New Living Translation. And I'm going to explain a few things. Then we're going to look and see how we can be an Ananias church in our community, okay? Acts 9, 1 through 22. It says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. That's not good. Right? That's not a good thing. By the way, when you hear Saul in this story, it's actually Paul that you know later on, right, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was still going by his Jewish name, Saul, because once he got into the mission field, into the Greek areas, he started using that name, Paul, okay? So when you hear Saul, think Paul. Verse 2, he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. By the way, in the first century, the first believers in Jesus weren't called Christians. They were called followers of the way. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the truth, the life. Exactly. And so they said, well, we're followers of the way. Not just a way of living, not just a way of thinking, but a person. We're followers of the person known as the way, okay? Christian was a derogative term meant to make fun of Jesus' followers that first started in Antioch a few decades later. So he went to arrest followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Why would the scripture say both men and women? To let you know just how intense Saul was with his hatred and his persecution of the church. Because see, usually it'd be the guys that would get thrown in jail. But if you also threw the women in jail, you've orphaned kids. That's how much he hated the church. That's how much he wanted to see the followers of the way and this new Christian sect destroyed. And so scripture makes sure to let you know it wasn't just the men, it was the women. Because back then, you guys, the jails, if someone didn't bring you food, you died. Going to jail was not good. And so this was Saul's goal. Anyone who was a follower of the way, male or female, we're going to throw them in jail. Verse 3, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone around him. He fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. He already knew whoever he was talking to was God. He just didn't know the details yet. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Ruh-roh. Could you imagine your whole world being flipped upside down? Your mission in life? His sole goal, the reason he got up in the morning was to persecute these people. And then Jesus appears to him, talks to him and says, "Dude, I'm God and you're doing it wrong. Everything you thought was right is wrong. You're fighting against the wrong thing." In one translation, it says it's hard for you to kick against the goads. Goads were these spiky things that would be used to motivate the oxen to move, kind of like spurs on a boot, right, Tim? Isn't that how it works? So he's saying it's hard for you to kick against goads. In other words, if you keep doing this self, you're gonna hurt yourself. It's not going to work, and you're going to hurt yourself. It's kind of like we would say, you're banging your head against the wall, right? And so Jesus is saying, look, you need to stop this because you're on the wrong side. You're on the wrong team. Verse 6, now get up, go into the city. You'll be told what you must do. Then the men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Verse 8, Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days, did not eat or drink. Verse 10, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. Here we go. Here's our main character. Here's our hero. Here's who I want you, me, and this body to be like. Here we go. Now, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. Just real quick, some translations say a certain disciple. This was not a pastor. This was not a well-known name. Like you would, oh yeah, I know, he's a good Christian. This wasn't that guy. He was just a follower of Jesus. No official title, or they would have told us. And he's just a dude, Ananias, who loved the Lord, right? So the Lord spoke to him in a vision, saying, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied, which is a great reply when God talks to you. "Yeah." "Yes, Lord," he replied. And the Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas," not Judas Iscariot, it's another Judas, it was a common name. "When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." Now, this is really interesting. So Paul has received a vision of Ananias coming and praying for him. And then the Lord appears to Ananias in a vision and says, "Hey, there's a dude named Saul that I want you to go pray for." Isn't it interesting? See, there was no Facebook back then. You couldn't Facebook stalk someone. You couldn't social media stalk someone and see what they looked like. And so God's given them visions of what they look like, which would make me think, well, what did I look like in that vision? Like, what was I doing, Lord? Was it my good side? I actually had this happen to me. It's crazy. People who were a part of the church, she was going through surgery. She was really dealing with anxiety. And as she was being rolled into the operating room, she's praying. She goes, "Lord, please give me your peace. I need your peace." And then all of a sudden, she looked up, and in the corner, she saw me. So much so that 2 days later, when I called to check on her, she said, "Were you in the OR?" No. She's like, "You were there." I was like, "I can assure you I was not." She goes, "No, you were there. I saw you." I was like, "Was I wearing plaid?" She said, "Yes." Well, it checks out. I was there. Well, obviously I wasn't there. That's how the Lord chose to give her comfort in that moment, the Lord in medicine. But the point is, God has given these guys visions of each other, what they would look like, so they would go pray, right? Everything is cool, right? No, it's not cool. Verse 13, but Lord, have you ever heard from the Lord, and he says something, and you go, but Lord. But Lord. Well, look, most of my excuses are pretty bad, I'm going to be honest. This one's good. This one's really good. Look at what he says, verse 13. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I have heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls on your name. That's a pretty good excuse. Verse 15, but the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, that's not punishment. God is not punishing Saul for his past sins, but he's warning Saul, I need someone like you. I need someone who's tenacious. I need someone who's persistent. I need someone who can get whipped 39 times with a cat of nine tails, almost die, and still keep going. He needed someone like that, and that person was on the other side. That person was on the other team. So instead of fretting and saying, what am I going to do? God said, okay, boom, you're mine. You're mine. And so, and by the way, God is doing that to people all over our community, and we can be the Ananias that they go to. Amen? Verse 17, so Ananias went, found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell off Saul's eyes. Everyone say, ew. Ew, scales. I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm not a doctor. And he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food, regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. Check this out, verse 20. And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, Jesus is indeed the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they asked? And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests? Verse 22, Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Wow, what a turnaround. What a change. It's almost like God knows what he's doing, and if we'll let him take charge of our life, he'll get some stuff done in us and through us, right? I want to be like Ananias. I want us to be like Ananias. And so I'm going to share with you here really quickly a couple of things that we have to do in order to make an impact. This is all about impact. It's not about a building. It's about impact. We just needed this to make the impact we're called to do. I want to share four things that we can see in this story we have to do to make an impact. First of all, we have to obey God. We have to obey God. In verse 4, when God asked Ananias, he said, yes, Lord, before he even knew what he was being asked. Ananias had already obeyed in his heart. Now see, I don't give my yes before I know what it is. Y'all ever gotten that text? Hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? Well, what are you asking? Because what you're asking is going to determine what I'm doing tomorrow night. I'm not going to give you my yes first. Right? You may be asking, like if it's asking to go hang out, maybe. If it's asking me to help you move, I'm going to find a birthday party to be at or something. So you tell me what you want before I give you my yes. Right? But the heart of the believer isn't like that. When we follow Jesus, we follow him. I wouldn't say no questions asked, because you can ask questions. He's not afraid of your questions. But you follow him in spite of your questions. We have to learn to obey completely and immediately. 1 John 5:3 says loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments, lest that scares you, his commandments are not burdensome. God's commands are not heavy, is what the actual Greek says here. It's not too heavy. He's not going to ask you to carry something that you can't carry. Maybe by yourself you can't carry it, but with him, he's got you. Does that make sense? So his commandments are not too heavy. They're not too burdensome. Guys, loving God is not feeling in love with God. It's doing what he says. Jesus has done all the heavy lifting for you. He's the one that went ahead and died. He's the one that went ahead and rose again. He's the one that took all the blows, that was beaten to a bloody pulp. He did all that for you. He's done all the heavy lifting. You just get to say yes. You just get to trust him. You just get to say yes. It's just simple obedience. Guys, if you want to know how you're doing in your relationship with God, here it is. Are you obeying? Not do you know all the songs? Not have you attended every service? Are you obeying him? Yeah, but God knows my heart. No, I know your heart because of your actions. Obedience is the measure of success for a Christian. If you want to know if you're successful, ask the Holy Spirit, am I obeying? Am I saying, am I doing what you've said to say and do? Obedience is hearing, then doing. Hearing, then doing. Skip one of these steps and you're not obeying. If you're just doing for him, well, you're busy. But that doesn't mean you're obedient. It just means that you're doing stuff, right? Because you're not doing what he said. So if you're doing but not hearing, that's not okay. If you're hearing, oh, I can tell what God's doing right now. I can hear him. Well, then get busy. What are you, right? I mean, so it takes hearing and doing together. Hey, are you an obedient Christian? See, I can't answer that for you. I don't know. I think in order for us to be a church that makes an impact, a church full of Ananias, how do you pluralize that? In order to be a church full of people like Ananias, we've got to be obedient to the Lord. We've got to be obedient to him. Here's the second thing I see in this story. That's good. Y'all clapped obedience. That's rare. Good job. Here's the second one, is be courageous. Be courageous. I keep looking back because I can't see my PowerPoint. I will be able to in the future. Imagine being sent to pray for the person who wants to kill you. See, most of us don't have a grid for that. Most of us don't even want to pray for someone who's not like us. For someone who's still battling with what you used to battle. Well, I don't do that anymore. I'm not going to. No, this guy literally was coming to Damascus to ensure the future death of followers of Jesus. And God says, hey, that's the guy. I want you to go pray. Hey, will you pray for someone for me? Yeah, sure. It's the guy who wants to kill you. I was avoiding him, Lord. I was ducking down the aisles of the supermarket. I was hoping not to run into him. Lord says, no, I want you to pray for him. Wow, what courage it took for Ananias. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Why? Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. A couple of things here. Fear involves punishment. The Aramaic text here says, fear is suspicious. Fear is suspicious. Well, what are they up to? What are they going to do? What do they think? Why are they that way? I'll pray for them, Lord, but they need to do X, Y, and Z first. That's not kingdom, you guys. That's not what God is asking us to do. He's asking us to be courageous. Guys, discernment, biblical discernment is not suspicion. God has not given you the gift of suspicion. That's the work of the flesh. He's asking us to love people, even the people we don't like. Even the people that we don't like. Once you grasp how much God loves you, you can freely love without fear. So if you have, now here's a kingdom truth. If you struggle loving others, you don't yet understand God's love for you. Because when you know who you are in Christ, whose you are in Christ, when you're confident in that, you won't be stingy with your love because you got so much for yourself. So we've got to be a courageous people who are willing to deal with people that we don't necessarily like, or we're not sure of, or that's a little shady, or what will people think? Did Jesus care at all what people thought when he was ministering? I mean, my goodness, and boy, they were throwing the insults while he eats with tax collectors and prostitutes. And Jesus was like, yeah, because the sick need a hospital. At least they admit that they're sick. Look, we need to be a courageous people like Ananias. Are you a courageous Christian? Do you stay in your little comfortable box? Say, well, my faith is personal. Well, maybe between you and God, but certainly not private. It's not meant to be private. It's meant to be shared because it's a good thing. And if you love other people, you give them good things, right? We've got to be courageous people. Guys, I want us to be a courageous church. A church that's willing to love people. A church that's willing to be misunderstood at times for the sake of the kingdom. I want us to be a courageous church. Here's a third thing that I see here is in order to make an impact like Ananias, we have to honor others. We have to honor others. Verse 17, when Ananias sees Saul for the first time, he says, and I'm messing this up. Let's see. Okay, there we go. Honor others. He says, brother Saul. When he first sees Saul, this guy who's persecuting and punishing and coming against the church, what does he call him? Brother. That's crazy. Saul had done nothing to earn that title yet. He had only persecuted the church and had a 3-day time out where God put him in time out. That's all he had done. But yet, how does Ananias deal with him? How does he talk with him? He says, you are my brother. You're my brother. I honor the image of God in you. I don't honor the things you've done, but I honor God in you. Brother Saul. Ananias didn't address Saul according to his past, but according to what God had said about him. He didn't address him not on what he had done, but what he was going to do. This is what it means to honor people. Husbands and wives, we're called to honor one another. Ooh, let's talk about that. It's so easy. Isn't it so easy, especially if you've been living with someone for years, and you know all their stupid stuff they do, right? No, I don't do anything stupid, but you know what I mean, right? I mean, I'm sure this is what I understand. Yeah, of course, right? But we honor one another, not based on what they do, but because of who they are, even when they don't act right. Now, I'm not saying you don't deal with bad behavior. Of course you deal with bad behavior. Jesus didn't come to make sin right. He came to make sinners righteous. So we don't act like sin isn't sin, but we honor the person as they grow into their righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:16, this is written by Paul, Saul, later on. He says this, we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. See, Paul at this point, Saul, he didn't know Jesus. He didn't get it yet. He was evaluating God by a human point of view. Guys, that's not how we look at people. It's not us versus them. It's us versus future us. It's us versus potential us. Are you with me? It's someone is either a believer and a follower of Jesus or a potential believer and follower of Jesus. There's no more them for us to rally against. Christ died once and for all. And for all. So we have to honor others. Guys, it's hard to look down on others when we're looking up at Jesus. When we're focused on worshiping him and growing, it's so hard. I mean, you're doing this, so hard to look down on people. You better not, right? Oh, hey, Lord. Right? That's not what we're called to do. You're not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a much better Holy Spirit than you'll ever be. Now, because some of you, you've been trained in religion. And immediately when I say stuff, you're like, yeah, but they have to act right. Well, yeah, eventually. But you can't make them act right. James says the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You can't bludgeon them into obedience. You can't hit them over the head with a Bible enough. They might stop talking eventually. But you can't do that enough to where they become holy. It's from the inside out. It's a creative work done by God himself. Do you honor people? Do you honor people who aren't like you? See, because the body of Christ, which we have a very diverse body here. I love it. It's so great. I mean, all ages, all races, all socioeconomic groups. I love it. It's going to continue. It's going to become even more diverse. And it's okay. It's cool when we're all sitting here like, yeah, that's right, until someone takes your parking space. Till someone sits in your seat. Who's claimed their seat so far in the new? Yeah, okay, you got your new seat? All right, I'm going to move that chair. I saw people scoping it out, rushing over. This is where I want to sit. Guys, someone's going to take your seat. Someone's going to park in your spot. Someone's going to wear something that you think maybe shouldn't have been worn. Someone might not know how to talk in a church setting. Someone might not know all the songs. Who cares? Honor them. Honor them as image bearers of Christ. Image bearers of, they were made in his image. Do you honor people? Are we going to be a church? I'd love for us to, but I can't do it without you. Are we going to be a church that honors people? Are we going to be a church that loves people where they are, not where we think they should be? Last one. Last thing I see. Four things we must do to make an impact. And here's the last one. Move in power. Move in power. So Ananias shows up. He sees Saul. He's obedient, even though you don't know what Lord, right? He's courageous. He's dealing with the thoughts. This guy, this may be a trap. This guy may want to kill me. He's being courageous. He's honoring him as a brother, even though he hadn't done anything to be a brother yet. And then lastly, Ananias lays his hands on him, and stuff happens. Ananias didn't just hang out with Saul and encourage him emotionally. He healed him physically and empowered him spiritually. 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul himself, later writing to the Corinthian church, says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power." The kingdom of God is not just knowing the information. It's being transformed and spreading that transformation everywhere you go. This is what we see the disciples do in the scripture, right? And so move in power. Move in power. Ministry, now listen to this. Ministry without power is just sympathy. A powerless church can feel bad for you. I'm so sorry you're going through that. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with compassion. There's nothing wrong with empathy and sympathy and those things. But God provides power to actually change situations. Let's not only feel bad for and with people, let's learn how to walk in the power of God. Guys, this is a hallmark from the very beginning. And it was interesting. When we began the Impact Initiative, immediately we were tempted as a church body to ask ourselves, are we going to begin to hoard all of our resources in order to make this happen? Or are we going to continue to give out, give out, give out, give out? And one of the biggest tests we faced is I had the opportunity to go overseas and preach, and it cost a lot of money. And we had a meeting with our trustees and our elders, and they said, you know what? We know that this new building is going to cost a lot, but let's do it. Let's see the kingdom of God move. I want to just read, since launching the Impact Initiative, here locally in Thomasville, we've seen 345 people give their hearts to Christ. Some of them are right here next to you. We've seen 522 people get physically healed. Now, we didn't tell them they were healed. It wasn't hype. It wasn't like, ha! You know, wow, God healed me. Okay, yeah, thank you. I mean, it was, y'all know how we do this. It's not hype. It's the Lord. And then overseas, we've seen 231,000 people come to Christ. Isn't that awesome? All while planning for this. Mark 16, 17 through 18 says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Any believers out there? Y'all believers? Okay, here we go. He's talking about you. This is Jesus. They'll cast out demons in my name. They'll speak in new languages. They'll be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick, and they'll be healed. Deliverance, supernatural communication, divine protection, and healing are all signs that Jesus said would follow believers. But it's not this automatic thing that just happens. Like, there is a growth process. You learn how to do this, right? It takes time. And by the way, you pick up snakes. It's like, you know, it's not pick up snakes, it's pick up snakes. All right? So we did not build a snake handling room into this new building, okay? It's protection. It's about supernatural protection. Guys, believers don't follow signs. Signs follow believers. A sign is not the point, but it draws your attention to the point. If you drive down 19, there are going to be three exits that say Thomasville, this exit. Is the sign Thomasville? No. The sign points to Thomasville. When God moves supernaturally, it is a sign that the kingdom of God has come near. We don't worship signs, wonders, and miracles. We worship Jesus. But neither do we deny that they exist and act like God doesn't want to heal people anymore. Right? There's a tension there. There's a tension. Are we going to be a powerful church? Are you learning to be powerful? Because see, our VFCU, we have classes, how to pray for the sick. We do all this. But like, I'm not going to come to your house and say, open your Bible. You've got to take advantage of what we're doing so you can learn how to do all this stuff. But a powerless church, it's a pointless church. I don't want to be like that. I want to be a church where people know that they can come and receive real ministry from the Lord. Guys, are you ready to make an impact? We've got the building. It's awesome. Have you been renovating and restoring your heart? Have you been preparing your heart to be used by God? Because here's the deal. The impact that God is calling this church to will not come through me alone, will not come through Cynthia and Eric and Tim and Tiff and the elders and the trustees and the ministry team leaders. They're all wonderful people. But the ministry that God wants to do will require all of us to be engaged. What about you? Are you ready for impact? Let's stand for prayer. I'm so glad you're here. I hope next week, 10:10, we'll start again. We'll continue our series that we started called Good Person, Bad Choices. We'll look at our next group of bad choices that we can make. I encourage you to be here. But for right now, if you would you close your eyes? Take a moment. Reflect on what we just learned about Ananias. About the obedience, about the courage, about the spirit of honor he operated with, about the power that he moved in. Ask the Holy Spirit. And here's how you do it. You just think this thought towards him. Am I like Ananias? Am I making an impact? Some of you have been coming to church and it's new for you, and that's exciting. And we're so glad you're here. But so far, it's all been about what you can receive. But the Lord is calling some of you to be someone who gives, not just receives. Who exports the internal change that he's done in you. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We want to make an impact. Thank you, Lord. If you guys would, I'd love to lead you in a prayer. It's your prayer, my words. Where, as a church body, we commit, we make the decision to be like Ananias and to make an impact. If you would, pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, you have impacted my life. And I want to share what's been given to me. I want to be like Ananias. And I want to make a difference in my community. So I make the commitment to the best of my ability, empowered by your grace, to obey you and to do what you say. To be courageous and to not fear for my life. To honor others, even if I disagree with them. And to move in power so that people will be healed, delivered, set free, and changed by your glory. Father, use me to make a difference and to make an impact. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the VFC podcast. If you live in the Thomasville area, we would love for you to connect with us in person. For more information about our weekly gatherings, including service times and directions, you can visit us at vfcthomasville.org.